It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, next week at this time, the 2016 Iowa caucuses will be history. This hour, how our mood, our national mood, our individual mood, how our emotions, our feelings of anxiety or anger, perhaps, are shaping our choices for candidates. In just a few minutes, we'll hear directly from caucus-goers who have come to our studios. We have them ready to tell us their thoughts, their mood, as they look at the choice of candidates. We have both Republicans and Democrats standing by. We'd like to hear from you. How are you feeling heading into caucus night? What are your emotions? And how do they feed into who you will support for president? In fact, we want to play our little five-word game that we do on occasion. If you'd like to participate via our social media or email, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org, give us five words from you that describe your mood this election season. Five words that describe your mood this election season. Find Iowa Public Radio on Facebook, tweet us at IPR Talk, or email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Our phone number, toll-free, 1-866-780-9100. We'd certainly like to hear from you as well if you are a caucus-goer to describe your mood. Our regular political analyst, Jim McCormick, is with us of Iowa State University as well for the entire hour, professor of political science at Iowa State University. Jim, always nice to have you on the show.
Good afternoon. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Before, Jim, I ask you for your thoughts on this election season, let's set the stage with a short piece by NPR's Mara Liasson about how mood is one of the most important political factors this year.
You can't talk to voters this year without hearing some pretty powerful emotions, and all the candidates are trying to show they get it. For Republicans like Marco Rubio, it's President Obama's fault.
And a president that on 10 occasions around the world has apologized for America. Apologized. And this is why people are so frustrated. This is why they're so angry. That's why this election's played out so differently.
On the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders' angry tirades have found a receptive audience.
This campaign is sending a message to the billionaire class. Yes, we have the guts to take you on.
Hillary Clinton has talked herself hoarse, explaining that she takes seriously the fears and insecurities of ordinary voters.
They're worried that they're going to be left behind while the people on the top, the guys who always get ahead, keep taking, leaving very little for anybody else. There's a lot of worry.
And no one has identified with or stoked voters' anger better than Donald Trump.
I will gladly accept the mantle of anger. Our military is a disaster. Our health care is a horror show. Obamacare, we're going to repeal it and replace it. We have no borders. Our vets are being treated horribly. Illegal immigration is beyond belief.
There are lots of good reasons voters are so ticked off this year. Number one, says former White House aide Bill Galston, is the absence of the kind of broadly shared economic growth that makes the American dream possible.
When you consider the fact that household incomes are still thousands of dollars below where they were at the end of the Clinton administration, people have gone a long time without making a lot of progress, and they know it. They're feeling it, and they're not very happy about it.
Another big factor is terrorism. Whether or not you think ISIS poses an existential threat to the United States, after San Bernardino, there was no question that the war on terror has come back home, and that's scary. Then there's demographic change, says Harvard political scientist Daniel Allen, who points out that 2014 was the first year the majority of American kindergartners were minorities.
So we're only a dozen years away from majority-minority voting cohorts entering into our voting ranks. So in other words, in some parts of the country in particular, there's just a sort of incredibly durable tradition of white political and social control. And that demographic transition is forcing to a head the question of what happens now.
This is why immigration has become such a flashpoint, particularly in the Republican primaries. Professor Roberto Serro is an immigration expert at the University of Southern California.
One of the most illustrative things that has happened this year was in the way that Donald Trump switched from Mexicans to Muslims almost instantaneously.
It was a simple pivot after San Bernardino. Terrorism and labor migration became one thing.
And what that tells you is that it's not specific immigrants, it's not even necessarily immigration itself, but this becomes the vehicle to touch people's anxieties about a whole bunch of other matters.
This year, immigration became all wrapped up in people's anxieties about jobs, terrorism, and the failure of government to perform basic functions like policing the border. Exacerbating all these anxiety-producing factors is a gridlocked political system that can't seem to solve big problems no matter which party has control. And here, Republicans are angry at their own party's leaders in Washington in a way Democrats just aren't, says conservative analyst Henry Olson, author of The Four Faces of the Republican Party.
And they've been listening to politicians who have been telling them for decades now that government can and ought to shrink quickly. And they think that when Republicans are elected, that that's what Republicans got elected on. So they are angry for things that they've been told they can have, but most people in politics know they really can't.
Voters in both parties are angry at elites. But just like everything else this year, Democratic and Republican populists are pointing their pitchforks at two very different targets. Again, Bill Galston.
For the Republicans, the anti-elite focus is on government and professional experts of all kinds. And for the Democrats, and especially the more left-leaning Democrats, the focus is on economic and financial elites.
And it's not clear, says Galston, which candidates will benefit most from all that angry anti-elitism when voters finally start going to the polls next month.
Elections serve a number of very important functions, and one of them is to hold up a mirror to society. We learn something about who we are and what we're feeling and what we want through the electoral process. And a lot of things that are beneath the surface come to the surface during the intensity of electoral combat.
And those feelings are defining the 2016 elections. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.
Ben Kiefer with Jim McCormick of Iowa State University in the studio now. Jim, tell us, before we talk to our caucus goers we've invited into our studio, into this show, provide us with your thoughts about that topic, this issue, mood, and how that is influencing people's choices of candidates. What would you add?
Well, what I would add, first of all, let me just say what a great summary that was by Mara Liasson and the various kind of issues that she tapped into. But I would say that particularly in this particular election cycle, mood is really going to be consequential, because the frustration over the last really decade or plus of government not being able to resolve any of these problems, and the growing economic insecurity. I mean, people are not even standing in place. They're actually falling behind economically. So that's, I think, a great kind of concern of the mood. The other thing that I see tapped out there is, and some of the survey data that's available, is there's a personal insecurity. It's not only this economic insecurity running in place or running behind in terms of the middle class, but the personal insecurity, whether it's because of the on a national or international level with ISIS, or on a personal level with the fear of a terrorist attack here at home. I think those things come together to really ramp up the sense of uncertainty among American voters of which way to go. And I think that explains really why the anti-establishment candidates in both parties, I mean, certainly Bernie Sanders portrays himself, even though he's in the Senate and so on, as really this kind of outsider, and why he has been so successful in terms of mounting a challenge to what would be considered the establishment candidate in Hillary Clinton. And, of course, it explains very well why Trump and Cruz have done equally well in terms of attracting sort of this disaffected kind of public mood here. So, there's not so much precise issue voting here. We always have image voting that takes place in elections. People think, well, will this candidate really be able to get anything done? But I think it's really quite more stark and more pronounced this election cycle of is there anybody that can really grab the nettle and make some change and get us out of this kind of rut that we're in, with this kind of gridlock in Washington and and elsewhere.
We're exploring mood in this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News, the final Politics Wednesday edition before our 2016 caucuses. That's next Monday. And we want to remind you that join us Monday evening next Monday, February 1st, we'll cover the returns from the 2016 presidential caucus. Jim McCormick will be with us, as well as live reports from IPR staff in the field and interviews with party leaders, our coverage in the evening next Monday. Let's go to some of the caucus goers that we've invited into our studio. They responded to our online website. Judy Porter is with us. Emma Schmidt is with us, joining us by phone. Dan Durant and Margaret Guth, thank you all for coming. Emma, you're joining us by phone. Judy, Dan, and Margaret, you're in our Des Moines studio. Thank you for coming. And I won't reveal your party yet. We have two Democrats, two Republicans, but that will reveal itself as our conversation continues here. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dan, if I can start with you, you are undecided, I see. You're a Republican caucus goer from West Des Moines. Undecided? Tell me, what is your mood, and how is it complicating who you want to find to support?
Well, Ben, you asked me to write down five words, and I really struggled to come up with five. I was able to write down three.
Okay.
One is concerned, the other is confused, and the third is surprised.
Okay. Explain those a little bit.
Well, it seems like, well, first of all, let's talk about the surprised. I'm surprised that Donald Trump and Ted Cruz have made it to the top of the Republican heap at this point in the national polls. Now, that may change once we find out if Trump and Cruz supporters actually show up. It surprises me mostly because the serious politicians, the people who have been doing politics for a very long time and have been very accomplished in their resumes, are not getting a serious look much beyond maybe 5, 6, 7, 8%. I'm talking about governors of fairly large states, Bush, Christie, Huckabee, Scott Walker, John Kasich.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that has to do with the anxiety we've been talking about, the anger out there at this time in our history?
Well, there's a sense of desperation, and I don't feel desperate. I'm concerned, but I don't feel desperate. There's a sense of desperation on the part of the electorate that nobody is speaking for them and addressing the issues that the politicians have got us where we are today, and they're not going to get us where we need to be. So they turn to outsiders, talented neurosurgeons and CFOs of former Fortune 500 companies and of course, the reality TV star.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
it's a desperation, I think, more than anything.
Okay, how do you think you'll decide? You're going to decide before Monday, or just show up at your caucus site and see what happens?
I've got some coins. I'll probably flip those.
All right.
No, honestly, I'm leaning more toward the best resume. I think the best resume in the group belongs to Kasich, but he's doesn't have a big showing here in Iowa, so that's where I'm leaning. But anything could happen between now and Monday.
Okay. Caucus goer Dan Durant, an undecided Republican caucus goer from West Des Moines. We want to hear from you this hour. You can tell us on our Facebook page, Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page, or tweet us at IPR Talk, five words or less that describe your mood this election season. Tweet us at IPR Talk or email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Mark tweeting us his words, excited, optimistic, Iowa pride, good choices. So no anxiety there. There's an upbeat assessment there from Mark with his mood. Let's move to Judy in our Des Moines studio. Hi, Judy. You are a retired middle school teacher from Altoona, I understand. And it says here you're going to be caucusing for Hillary. You're solid in Hillary's column.
Yes, and I always have been. I followed her since she first came on the scene, and I remember the question to her of what she would be doing in Bill's campaign, and she said, well, I'm not going to be home baking cookies, and then was just pilloried because of that statement. And I thought, whoa.
Yes, she was.
You know, this is interesting. So I have followed her continually, impressed with her working with the Children's Defense Fund with Marion Wright Edelman. And from there on, she's continually worked for women and children's rights, and particularly children, because, you know, no matter how you feel about the adults, you have always got to care for and protect the children. And in this particular climate, I'm optimistic and I'm hopeful. I'm energized, but at the same time, I am concerned.
Mm-hmm. Concerned specifically about?
Concerned that people will watch the reality TV aspect of this race and not do due diligence with research, actual reading of newspapers, and just the show business aspect.
Mm-hmm. You are a retired middle school teacher from Altoona. You've seen a lot of change in the American identity through, I'm sure, you're looking at your classroom. I'm just looking at a statistic here, Judy, that from 1965 to 2015, immigrants and their descendants added 72 million people to the U.S. population. And over the coming 50 years, projected to add another 100 million more. So your classroom in Iowa, I'm sure, reflected that growing diversity.
It does. It didn't at the time that I was teaching, and I was really sorry about that because I think we need to learn from all of our neighbors and our different countries, and it brings such a richness and diversity to our way of life. It has some difficulties because of language barriers and finding, you know, the right balance between the cultures. But I think this is an extremely exciting time for our country.
Mm-hmm. What about your mood? Are you tapping into some of the anxiety and the fear? Or are you more on the positive side of things?
I am on the positive side, and I really take exception with the fear-mongering that is going on during this particular time. I think it's unconscionable to tap into people's fears when those fears are really not realistic. So actually, I am optimistic.
Okay. Judy Porter, retired middle school teacher from Altoona, says she's caucusing for Hillary. We're talking to caucus-goers this hour. We'd like to hear from you, especially if you have five words that describe your mood this election. 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. Tweet us at IPR Talk or find Iowa Public Radio on Facebook. Margaret Guth, I understand you are a Republican. You're actually a clerk in the Iowa Senate, and you plan to caucus for Ted Cruz. You're in our Des Moines studio. Hello to you. Tell us a little bit about your mood and what about that mood leads you to Ted Cruz?
Well, you talk about five words, and as everybody was talking, I came up with passionate, intense, eager. A little melancholy of where the culture has gone, and very patriotic. And that's pretty much what would describe a lot of us that are following Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm. Melancholy as far as the cultural changes. What do you mean by that?
There was a time where a lot of our culture was engaged and really caring about who they supported, voted for, and kept accountable. And it just appears that we have fallen a little bit away from that from one generation to the other, and it has made a difference. People are very concerned suddenly to realize, wait, how did we come to this?
Mm-hmm. What about your Republican Party that you support in this case? We've seen a lot of divisions there, real difference in candidates. You're supporting Ted Cruz. Why not Donald Trump? Why not Marco Rubio or Jeb Bush?
Yes, that's a good question. Each one has their own particular focus, and maybe while there may be life issues that they may address, they may not make that the first issue. In my case, I want that addressed above all. While I am concerned about all the things that are happening, if we do not address the life issue from the most vulnerable at the beginning And at the end of the spectrum, it seems to me that everything in the middle will fall apart eventually.
So you are what we would call a one-issue voter. You would vote for the candidate who supports your view on abortion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're coming up on a break. I want to get to our final caucus goer before we have to take a break. Of course, you're going to be staying with us the entire hour. Emma Schmidt is with us, joining us by phone, a 22-year-old Democrat from Rockwell City. Hi, Emma.
Hello.
You've been listening here. Glad that you could join us. You're caucusing for Bernie. Now, why?
Because I think Bernie inspires people. I think he has a good chance of winning the election against a Republican. I think he's bringing people that, you know, are apathetic and didn't want to vote or didn't want to take a role in politics into the political spectrum. I think he is just the best candidate out there.
Mm-hmm. Some say the choice for the Democrats is the choice between idealism, which you are, some would say, choosing here, or pragmatism in Hillary Clinton. Why not Hillary Clinton?
For the most part, I don't trust her. I think, I mean, if I had to vote for Hillary, I would, but I think Bernie has better plans. I think he's talking about the issues more, the issues that affect me. And I just think that if I can choose the candidate that I want, as opposed to a candidate that is kind of voting for the lesser of two evils, then I'm going to choose the candidate I want, and that's Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm. Judy Porter, retired middle school teacher from Altoona, I didn't ask you why. How do you feel about supporting Bernie Sanders and what Emma has just said about Bernie and her feelings towards him?
First of all, I respect Senator Sanders, his energy and his passion, and I really, really like him. But I feel like his promises are somewhat pie in the sky and not doable. I just feel that Secretary Clinton has had such a good background of compromising, working with other people. I can remember the one thing that impressed me the most is when she was slated to be the secretary, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff all supported that. And to me, that was a really important group to have in her corner at that time.
Okay, we
and
have
as
to take
far
a...
as her not being trustworthy.
Yeah, quickly.
This is something that I take exception with because that's just something that has been said, and if you say it loud enough and long enough, then people will believe it. And I've never ever heard anybody give me specific reasons for that statement.
Okay, Judy Porter, hang on, and we'll be back with you. Emma Schmidt, two Democrats, caucus goers. One for Hillary, one for Bernie. Dan Durant, an undecided Republican caucus goer, also with us. Also, Margaret Guth, who plans to support Ted Cruz. We're talking to caucus goers this hour and finding out about their mood and why they support who they do. And we're looking for five words that describe your mood this election. For instance, Keith tweeting us, hopeful, excited, optimistic, concerned, surprised. Five words. Go to Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page or tweet us at IPR Talk. Back in just a moment. And we're back midstream on this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News, the final Politics Wednesday before caucus day, which is next Monday, caucus evening. I'm Ben Kiefer. Jim McCormick with us of Iowa State University, one of our regular political analysts. He's a professor of political science at Iowa State University. This hour devoted to hearing from you, caucus goers. We've invited a number into our studios. We have Judy Porter, Dan Durant, Margaret Guth, and Emma Schmidt on our phone telling us about their mood and who they're supporting, two Republicans and two Democrats. We're reaching out to you for your calls, 1-866-780-9100. Also for you to tell us in five words or less your mood. Tyrant the Hawk tweets us, overblown, his five words, overblown, insane, ridiculous, ignorance, single issue. Kristen is a Bernie supporter from the East Village in Des Moines. She tweets, as a Bernie supporter, I feel motivated, empowered, hopeful, jaded, and concerned. Tom writes on Facebook, Hillary, knowledgeable, experienced, proven, effectiveness. And Heather tweets, stand strong with Martin O'Malley. Those are Heather's five words. And we want to go back to our phones, also talk with our caucus goers in our studio in just a moment. But let's get some brief comments from some of the people on the line. Jonas is with us in Jefferson County. Go for it, Jonas. Tell us what's your mood and who you're supporting.
My mood is optimistic, and though I'm concerned about many issues, the consolidation of wealth in our country, the critical need for voting reform, the takeover of corporate greed of our society, the Department of Defense says there is no greater threat to security of our country than climate change. And so my five words are, Bernie is top climate champion.
Okay, Jonas in Jefferson County, thank you for your view. Let's move to Brenda in Des Moines. Brenda, you go for it. Please briefly tell us your mood and who you're supporting.
Well, my five words were no ties to Wall Street. That really isn't my mood. I am very concerned. And I saw The Big Short last night, and it just made me mad because banks and CEOs get away with all this, and we, the taxpayers, have to pay for it. So I will start out with O'Malley. He may not be viable. And then I'll go to Sanders because I think Clinton has too many ties to Wall Street.
Okay, Brenda in Des Moines, thank you very much. Tell us about your mood and your support, why your mood is leading to the support that you have for a certain candidate. Perhaps you're undecided. Tell us about the challenge you're facing. 1-866-780-9100. And Jim McCormick of Iowa State University, we're listening to these opinions live here on Iowa Public Radio just a few days before caucus day. What are you hearing in these voices?
Well, I'm really impressed with how thoughtful and informed and really passionate some of these people are that are calling in, as well as the people that you have in the studio here. It actually gives me confidence, you know, because of all of the sort of the hoopla, you know, surrounding some of these events and even some of these debates, leads to almost a different impression. These callers here and these people that you have, I really have thought about this contest, and they have some really, I think, very informed kind of opinions as to why they're supporting one candidate or the other. So I guess what I would take from this is my mood is more upbeat after listening to the last 40 minutes here.
Okay. Jim McCormick of Iowa State University. Trying to make sense of it, as we all are in this political season, a political season that has turned out unexpectedly, and one of those, the biggest surprise of the season, Donald Trump, of course, in the GOP column. Joe is with us on the line I see on my screen. Joe, you are a Donald Trump supporter.
Yes, I am.
Tell us about your mood and how that leads you to support of Donald Trump.
Well, I guess I don't mind the word angry. I'm an evangelical, so to use that language a little bit, you know, I think God's people should be angry at, you know, injustice and corruption. I think that the dysfunction in our government is to a large degree intentional. I think there's a ruling groups that controls our government, and it's kind of in their interest to have all of us people out here in the country yelling, I'm a conservative, I'm a progressive, mm-hmm. and keep us divided when there's really an awful lot of things that we could agree on. Mm-hmm.
And you think we have a lot of other callers, Joe. I just want you to get to the point, the crux of why you're supporting Donald Trump. You think he can fix the things that you just stated as problems?
Well, I think we need to disrupt the status quo.
We need to blow things up.
Yep.
Okay. Joe, thank you very much. A Trump supporter. 1-866-780-9100. Dan, let me go to you again. We started at the beginning of the program with you because you're, well, I did, because you're an undecided Republican caucus goer from West Des Moines. What have you heard now that tells you perhaps how you're going to focus your support? What do you believe, for instance, is at stake in this election? Dan Durant in our
yes. Thanks, Ben. I think the future of the country is at stake in this election. And what I heard Joe just say was that he's desperate. We are turning the electorate is supporting people that we just want a change. We want to blow things up. Mm-hmm. To use your term.
Well, I think I heard that from others, but
I don't know that that's necessarily prudent.
Right.
I certainly, again, you know, Donald Trump could be elected. We don't know what he's going to do because we have no track record of what he's done in the past politically, because there is no track record.
Well, he certainly strong-armed the Republican Party, if you want to put it that way. He's also wrestled with the media, and it seems one on many counts there. So he seems quite a capable person.
He's popular, and populism sometimes will get you a little ways, but I don't know that it'll get you the presidency.
Our other Republican caucus goer in studio, Margaret Guth, tell us how you're feeling. We just had a caller from Joe, an evangelical Christian who is caucusing for Donald Trump. You heard his reasons. What's your reaction, Margaret?
Yes, I'm not surprised. I've heard that, too. There are several evangelical bigwigs, I would call them, that have endorsed Trump. I'm not really sure, other than he said, at least Donald Trump said, that he would protect Christians. And he said he didn't have to be politically correct to say that. But the other thing is, there is, I guess if there is some sort of track record, it's because he has become a billionaire. And, you know, all I can think of is, well, maybe he'll make America a billionaire, too.
Each of us.
Right.
Right.
So I'm not really sure other than that. But I just – what I look at is integrity overall, not just in one area as well.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you feel your support should go to Ted Cruz.
Correct.
Emma Schmidt, we talked with you for just a couple of minutes in our first half hour. We had on the other end of the political spectrum Dan Durant and our Trump supporters saying – well, using the words that have been thrown out there, blow things up, disrupt. The disruptive candidate, if you would say it that way, on the Democratic side is Bernie Sanders, whom you're supporting. Do you agree with that? We've got to really shake things up as we haven't for generations.
I do agree. I mean, I think Bernie's calling for a political revolution. I think that's what we need in this country to turn things around. You know, we need to end Citizens United. We need universal health care. We are falling behind other nations in terms of, like, what rights their citizens have and that sort of thing. And I think Bernie has a good plan to get us back on track.
How do you answer the concern, perhaps from people in your own party, that this is too idealistic? It is great to have these feelings if you think those are good feelings and visions for our country. But put Bernie in the White House and you will get perhaps more gridlock? How do you answer that criticism when it's launched at you? And I'm sure you've heard it.
I think part of it is just the fact that Bernie has consistently won 70% of the Senate vote, which means he draws in Republicans and independents. If he can get all these people to turn out, we can have the political revolution. We can elect progressives into office, and his plans aren't so gridlocked. Whereas, you know, Hillary doesn't inspire people quite so much. She can't pull in as many Republicans and independents to vote for her. So she's more likely to be gridlocked in, you know, passing laws than I think Bernie is.
Mm-hmm. Bernie represents, his supporters are many people who feel they've been left out in the growth of the United States economically. Do you count yourself in that numbers? Do you worry about your own economic situation, Emma?
Absolutely. I make $8.20 an hour.
Okay. And do you support a family with that?
Yes, I do.
You do?
So I have a daughter, yeah.
It is not easy going.
No, absolutely not. My budget is $300 every 2 weeks, you know, so I have a hard time just affording food and gas, let alone my bills. You know, it's not easy. I think we need a minimum rise.
All right. Let's go back to some of our people with the five words. They've been chipping in on our social media, on our Facebook page, also tweeting at IPR Talk. Esther is a Rand Paul supporter. She tweets her five words: end spying, peace through strength. Jim McCormick, when we look at what is facing this next president, when he or she would begin in 2017, let me ask you, can you sum up what's at stake?
Well, it's going to be a real challenge here because, you know, the economic situation is particularly for the middle class. And that's certainly a theme from both Democrats and Republican candidates, is that there's got to be some effort to increase pay rises here for people, particularly at the lower rung. We just heard $8.20 an hour. It's really hard to make a living on that. I'm sure that
to support a family,
yeah,
my goodness,
that Emma would agree with that. So there really has to be some effort, and probably that means a candidate actually that can work with Congress, and that means a candidate in some ways that we'll have to compromise if, in fact, this, you know, this kind of political revolution does not go all the way through the Congress. So that's one economic issue. The other thing that also came out in terms of one of the things that Mara Liasson was talking about and that some of the people that she talked to is a whole leadership issue. We've got to have somebody that really can unite the country. And that, you know, has been a theme, obviously, of the last several elections here, but we really do need to find that person that can provide that leadership both domestically, but then the other issues, of course, that haven't really been talked too much about by this panel, but these international challenges here are simply not going to go away. They're going to be more, I think they're going to be more more intense. So we need a leader that also has, I would say, some foreign policy knowledge and experience to also bring the country together. Mm-hmm. And that's a thing, I think, an issue that maybe some of the listeners and also some of the folks that you have in your studio, I'd be interested to see what they think of sort of the foreign policy dimensions and the kind of leadership qualities that these each of these candidates that they're leaning to or are supporting have.
Well, let's talk about that for a few minutes, but let's because I think Greg wants to talk about that as well. Greg is joining us from Waterloo. Greg has five words, and I believe, Greg, if you can turn down your radio, too, tell us your five words. I think they fit in with the foreign policy concerns that Jim McCormick just mentioned. Greg,
hello?
Are you there? Yes, Greg, can you hear us?
Hello?
Yes, Greg, are you there? Okay.
Hello?
Yep. It doesn't appear that Greg can hear us. Five words from Greg. No more boots on the ground. And he has here, when we talk with him briefly, one of our people says he's a physician who's seen patients from Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan. He's seen what a declaration of war or involvement in contrast can bring. Let's talk with Judy Porter. We haven't heard from you for a few minutes. How does terrorism or national security figure into your support of Hillary Clinton?
It figures greatly. First of all, I am confident of our national security. The lone wolf actor, I don't know that can be controlled, like the Oklahoma bombing, things like that. The international situation, I think, is dire. And I think to have a person who has relationships with people all over the world and has had conversations, have worked on plans, et cetera, is of the utmost importance. And I totally believe agree with Greg in no boots on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Middle East, I really don't know what the answer is over there. I don't think it is a United States answer. And I think we have to develop partnerships with the leaders in the Middle East and form some type of a plan with them. And I don't know that what we want is always the best for those countries. I think it's got to be a give-and-take situation.
Margaret Guth is in our studio as well. She's a Republican, plans to caucus for Ted Cruz. How does national security figure into your support for Ted Cruz?
Oh, it figures in. And because I'm looking at integrity, and in this case, Ted Cruz is a constitutionalist. I mean, he strictly wants to adhere to that and is persevering in that. I have no doubt that he will make a good foreign affairs, you know, working with relationships and trying to come up with situations that will be agreeable to both sides.
Mm-hmm. Emma Schmidt, you're a young Democrat from Rockwell City, caucusing for Bernie Sanders, and of course Hillary Clinton, with her experience as Secretary of State, has been trying to point out that difference to win over support. Bernie Sanders, what can you say about his foreign policy that convinces you that he will both keep us safe and secure?
You know, Bernie has 30 years of experience, so I think he has that going for him. And he's always kind of been on the right side of history. So, you know, I trust his judgment. He says, you know, we don't need to get involved in useless wars, that sort of thing. And I believe him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll do the right thing.
Okay. Deb tweeting, when we ask for five words that describe your mood this election, Deb tweeting to us, executive experience, positive, cooperative, untarnished. Okay, Esther writing on our Facebook page her five words: liberty, Fourth Amendment, balanced budget, lower taxes. Esther, by the way, says she is a Rand Paul a supporter. What else haven't we talked about, Jim? What else do we need to find out from our caucus goers before this hour slips away from us in about 5 minutes?
Well, one of the other issues that actually was early in the campaign, it's kind of come back in various permutations, is the whole question of immigration. And so I'd like to hear what they think about, you know, some of the statements that are made by the various candidates over, you know, what should be done about immigration, building walls, prohibiting people to come into our country. How does that fit into their support or opposition to a candidate?
Right. This is one of the major themes of this election cycle. Our demographics are changing, national identity. So many more immigrants and their descendants adding to the U.S. population, changing its diversity. Dan Durant, we haven't heard from you for a while. How do you look at the immigration debate and the pressing need for some kind of immigration reform?
Well, are we talking immigration reform or are we talking citizenship reform? And should we establish different requirements? And certainly I'm not in Arizona or Southern California or Texas, so I don't have any sense of what those people have to deal with. Building a wall, nobody's telling us how much that's going to cost. There are a whole series of issues with regard to the Syrian refugees, some of which are legitimate, I think. But I agree that there should be some experience in the White House. And I don't always trust the rhetoric that I'm hearing from the candidates because I think they have a tendency to tell us what we want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard that before.
The ads are making – I can't wait till the caucus is over so the ads go away.
Right. So what specific comments would you not trust, Dan Durant? Can you call to mind any?
Well, on immigration, I just don't know what the right answer is, and nobody – and everybody is just being rhetorical. Everything from building the wall to no amnesty, you know, Marco Rubio, I don't know where you stand because you've changed a few times. And I like Rubio. He's a sharp guy. But I need to see some consistency. And, of course, with lack of experience, you don't have a real track record of what to go from. So,
Renew Your Life tweeting to us. We asked for five words. Actually, Renew Your Life tweeting only one word: frustrated, more with the hate and anger that is dividing this country. Emma Schmidt, staying with the topic of immigration here as we end this hour, how do you see that? We have building a big, beautiful wall, I guess, with a big, beautiful door from one candidate all the way to a path to citizenship for the existing undocumented workers.
I guess to me, on a basic moral level, you know, we're all humans, so we ought to just share this earth. You know, many immigrants are suffering, and, you know, we're the wealthiest country in the world. We can help them. I think it just goes back to, you know, treat others the way you want to be treated. If I was in their situation, if I was afraid that a cartel was going to attack my family, I would want to, you know, the U.S. to be able, you know, saving grace.
Mm-hmm. Emma, as a 22-year-old, this is your first caucus?
Yes.
Okay. What are you most looking forward to on caucus night?
I don't know. I've never experienced one, so I don't really know what to look for.
You've heard about it. You've heard about it, right?
Yeah, I think I'm excited just to, you know, get the political discussion going, hear other people's opinions and points of views, I guess.
Okay. We've got just a few seconds left. I want to turn to Jim McCormick of Iowa State University for some thoughts to wrap up this hour. We've had so many voices, so many views here from all parts of the political spectrum. What are you looking forward to on caucus night?
Well, what I really am looking forward to is, you know, how some of these people come together in terms of these different groups and these different opinions. And I guess on sort of on the Republican side, I'm really curious to see that whether there really will be just a movement towards these two top candidates, or will some of these other candidates that have maybe not gotten as much sort of media coverage and publicity, if they can garner some support. And I think on the Democratic side, what is going to be really very, very interesting, if the polls are at all accurate, how close this election is going to be between between Sanders and Clinton.
Okay. Okay, Jim, we have to go. Okay. We'll talk with you also on our airwaves on caucus night. Jim will be with us as our analyst, as will our IPR staff. We'll have interviews with party leaders. Thanks to Judy Porter, Dan Durant, Margaret Guth, and Emma Schmidt for coming and being part of this conversation this hour. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Claire Roth, and Lindsay Moon. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. Thanks for the lively conversation, and thanks all you listeners for joining us.